Good afternoon. Welcome to another daily devotion. It's great to be together. Wonderful to be able to pause just for 15 minutes this afternoon and consider God's word for another day. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel of Matthew once more. Yet before we do that, let's come to him in a time of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is rich and true, and we pray that you would help us to benefit from it. We cannot benefit from it unless your Spirit enables us to see, hear, and believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turning to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 to 22. And behold, a young man came up to him, saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these I have kept. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, there was a famous Queen song that went, "Who wants to live forever?" And there's many people who would say they don't, but I think deep down in the human heart, every single person wants to live forever. This is why our societies inject millions and millions and millions of dollars into technical advances in health sectors, because they long to be able to live forever here and now. Part of it comes from a desire to get rid of God, but a large part of it just comes from an innate desire to have eternal life. That's why there's so many ancient stories about men looking for the elixir of life, or women having some secret recipe that extends people's lives forever, and all these other sorts of ideas. Well, this man, fueled by that same desire, wanting to inherit eternal life, comes to Jesus with the most important question that you could ever ask. How do I live forever? Have a look with me. "Teacher," verse 16, "what must I do to obtain or to have eternal life? What good deed must I do?" Now, I don't know, do you find Jesus' answer interesting? Because Jesus doesn't say nothing. If it was me, if I had someone come into my study and sit down here with me and say, "Logan, what things do I have to do in order to get into heaven?" I would say, "There's nothing you can do to get into heaven." But Jesus doesn't say that. Does that mean we've understood the gospel wrong? Does that mean that the Catholics were right when the Reformation took place, that the Protestants and the Reformers were completely off the track, and that there are things we have to do to get into heaven? Well, Jesus says to the man, "If you would enter life, keep the commandments." How can Jesus say that? Is Jesus telling the man that the only way to have eternal life is by following the law of God? Well, yes and no. What can you do? See, he's answering the question. What can I do? What must I do if I want to obtain eternal life for myself? Jesus says you must keep the commandments. You must be perfect. That's where Jesus is going with this, because we get down to after his answer and Jesus says, if you would be perfect, go and do these things. So Jesus says, here are the commandments you must do. And he lists off several things from the Ten Commandments, plus love your neighbor as yourself. He summarizes the law of God. He says, if you want eternal life, do these things. The man says, I've done them all. Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, Because what's the barrier? What's the measurement for eternal life? It's perfection. And that's what Jesus is pointing out to this man. He says, if you want to earn, you can earn eternal life. It's possible in the scope of God's theological world with meaning. It is possible to obtain eternal life. You could do it if you had no sin and you were perfect. See, Jesus doesn't say it's impossible for a person to make their way into eternal life, because that's exactly what Jesus is going to do. The problem for this rich man is not that there's no way to earn eternal life, it's that there's no way he can earn eternal life. And this is what Jesus seeks about pointing out to this man. He points out to the man that he's not perfect. That the man is desperately trying to justify himself. He's desperately trying to say to Jesus, have I done enough? Have I done enough for a mellow puff, as we say in New Zealand? Have I done enough to enter eternal life? And Jesus is going to say no. He says to him, if you want to be perfect, because perfection is the bar of entry into eternal life, if you want to be perfect, sell everything you've got. Follow me and enter the kingdom of heaven. What's Jesus pointing to? Jesus is pointing to the love of this man's life. He's asking him the question, do you love me more than you love your money? Are you willing to give up everything and follow me? What should, and this is a very important question, what should the man's response have been? How should the man have responded at this point? Now, we know the story well, so we know that he walks away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, there's two responses that should have come from this man. When Jesus says to him, keep the law, he should have said, well, I don't keep the law. And Jesus could have said, I came to seek and save the lost. Or, after Jesus said, give up of your money and follow me. In other words, give up all of your working, give up all of your laboring, give up all of your trying and follow me. I am the way to eternal life. Not your works, but me. He should have said, yes. You are worth infinitely more than everything I have. But he didn't. And it raises the question for you and for me. What holds us back from following Christ? What holds us back from obtaining eternal life? What holds back our neighbors and our friends and our family from obtaining eternal life? It's not that they don't want to live forever. I mean, I know people say stuff like that. I don't care, I'll just die and whatever. I know people say, but that's not reality. It's just a blind, foolish answer that people give to try and fob you off. The problem is not that they don't want eternal life. The problem is that sinners want eternal life on their terms. So I'll have eternal life, but I'm not giving up what I love. I'm setting the terms of eternal life. And the problem with that, of course, is that we don't get to set the terms for eternal life. God does. And God says the bar for eternal life is perfection. Do you want to live forever? Jesus says to the rich man. Then be perfect. Give up everything, sell everything, live perfectly, and follow me. And the man should have said, I can't. But there's another aspect to this response of Jesus. Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, follow me. Why would giving up everything and following Jesus make the man perfect? Is it because in doing so he would finally justify himself? No. Because then we would have a works-based salvation. Who did Christ come to save? The New Testament tells us he came to save the ungodly. He came to justify the ungodly. And so here is an ungodly man. He's ungodly. He doesn't love God. He loves money. He is an ungodly man. And Jesus invites him and says to him, if you will follow me, you will be perfect. Why? Because Christ will make him righteous. You see, that's the ultimate point of this. Jesus is pointing out to this man that he can't make himself perfect through the law or through his money. His love for money will never make him perfect. Only coming to Christ will make him perfect. And this is the thing that we have to hold before people. We don't hold before people the law. What we hold before the people is that eternal life is possible in Christ. That there is a way to be perfect. That, yes, you must be perfect to enter the kingdom of God. And, yes, a way has been made. Because God sent Jesus to make the ungodly righteous, to justify them. And so we hold forth a free gospel of God's grace. This is why, since the time of the Reformers and the time of Augustine and the time of the New Testament writers and the time of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 verse 15, we have been declaring the same gospel. Sinners are made right by God in Christ. And so we take the free offer of the gospel to the nations. And I wonder how many people you and I know that are just like this eternally rich man. Sorry. This man who thought he was eternally rich, I should say. And yet was eternally poor. You see, this man came with lots in his pockets and left empty-handed. He came with lots in his pockets and yet left empty-handed. And what he should have done is come empty-handed and left full. Remember that song we sing? Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's what we are called to do. And that's the message we take to our family and friends. Yes, there is eternal life. No, you cannot obtain it. Yes, it is freely given to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this wonderful gospel that we have obtained eternal life in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me for another daily devotion. I will see you back here tomorrow for our last devotion of the week. Have a most blessed afternoon, and I will see you then.